See, sometimes you get caught up in church, even in a non-religious, non-traditional, multi-denominational, non-denominational, faith, Bible, full gospel believing church. You can still get caught up in the act of just doing church. And you kind of forget why we're here sometimes. We don't show up just to knock out another service. I don't care if we do 5 songs, 10 songs, 12 songs, or none. I don't care if there's preaching or not preaching. We are looking for audience with the Almighty. That's what we're here for. We're not here to hear a great message. The messages are good. Pastor Paul's been on fire. And the next, what are you going to preach for, like the next 6 months, 5 months? The next 5 weeks are going to be awesome with the blood covenant. But all of that is there for information and knowledge. Information and knowledge. See, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. And that knowledge there creates and continues to foster and grow that fear of the Lord. Not a fear in the sense of being afraid, but a fear meaning an honor and a respect. And so what that word does and what these messages are to do is to bring you even further respect and honor for God. So that whenever you're on your own and you're by yourself and you're in the hard places, you don't necessarily have to call anybody. You don't necessarily need to get on Facebook and tell everybody your problems. All you do is go into your prayer closet and apply that which you've learned to receive from the Master. These messages and what we do here is not just so we can look pretty. And it's so not just so we can get dressed up and do a thing. And this is an equipping for all of us to be able to do life. We have to do life from here. We have to go and face a world that was not designed, that originally it was designed, but now it is not designed to bring you joy. It's not designed to bring you peace. It's not designed to bring you love. It's not designed to bring you anything but death, destruction, depression. That's what we face when we go out there. That's the pressure of life. We hit that thing as soon as we leave out of here. So what we do in here, that's why they call it a sanctuary. What we do in here is to get prepared and equipped so that we could step out there and do that. Do life without the pressures getting to us. Do life without the enemy bringing us down to a level where we're not supposed to be. Let us never forget, CCAM, why we're here.
That's right.
We ain't here to do church, are we, Paul? Not at all. That ain't what we do around here. And I just wanted to kind of get us out of the groove. We were kind of in a little groove. Good song. Kind of getting a groove. I just wanted to get us out of it for a minute. Think about what we're doing. Amen. Yeah. So anyway, last week I had a word last week that God gave me. I was standing right there. And they were singing that song. What's that song about the sheep? The 99. Reckless love. Leaves the 99 to go after the one or something like that. I don't know the song. Serena, you want to come sing it? Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't know that they can play it. Maybe. I know I can't. I don't know it. So anyway, you know, he leaves the 99 for the one. And then it says something else in there about him calming the seas and and we all know the story attached to the calming of the seas. I don't need another one, but I'm good. I'm just snotting it up a little bit. And so I'm standing up here in the front row, and I told Paul after service, I said, man, I kind of had a word, and I didn't bring it. And he goes, well, it sounds like you might need to preach next week, so here we go. That's the way that kind of thing works. And in fact, he came in this morning, and he had on a coat, and I had on a coat. We were looking at each other. I was like, are you preaching? He's like, are you preaching? Somebody is. Somebody figured to preach up in this place. See, we don't even know who's going to preach. You know, we just kind of figure it out as we go. And so anyway, I said I had this word. And what I was doing is while we were sitting there, you know, he said he calmed the seas with his hands or with his word. I can't remember the exact lyrics of the song. And then, he goes after the one and leaves the 99. And I'm just sitting here thinking about them. Like, Lord, you know, why? You know, why is it that you leave the 99 for the one? Why is it whenever things are going crazy, you try to settle them down? Why? What is it? I mean, I know you're good. I know you're all powerful. I know you're God. But why? What you doing that for? And he hit me like a ton of bricks. He said, because it's not complete. He said, if I only have 99, I'm missing the one, so I'm not complete. And he said, if you take a look at everything that I do, I'm going to bring it to completion. He said, everything that I've done and everything that I'm doing in your life and in the lives of people around you, I am completing a thing. And I was like, wow, man. And I even told Angel, Angel's like, well, if you look at creation, you know, he created a completeness. We have seasons. A season begins, and then what does it do? Well, not in Louisiana, like like in real places that have four seasons, you know. Not here. We got like eight today, and then next week we'll have two, you know. Yeah, it's just whatever. But you know what I mean? I mean, if we think about the four seasons that are out there, something begins, right? And it carries through, and what does it do? It ends, and then it begins again and ends. And if you look at nature and the way that nature works and the way that this lady over here, she teaches biology, so she loves all this mess. If you start looking at how the human body works and it takes itself through a schedule of completions. And nature, if you're looking at anything that's living, it has a schedule of completion that it goes through. And I was like, Lord, dang, man. Dang. Complete. See, he's a God. And I couldn't find it. I went to look at the Bible. I was like, man, it's got to say somewhere in here that he is the God of completion. But it doesn't. But it's what he does. He completes things. He makes them whole. When you look at Jesus, whenever Jesus walked on the earth, what did he do? He would pray for people, and the Bible tells us over and over again that they were made whole and complete. You know, he brought back what was supposed to have been. It should be this way, so I should have 100. I'm missing one, so I'm going to go out there, and I'm going to find that one because my household is not complete. My family is not complete yet. That's why the doors of salvation are still open today, because it's still not complete. He wants everybody. He wants us all. He's a jealous God. He wants every one of us. He wants a spirit, soul, and body. He wants the people living across the street right now that won't come this way. He wants the people that are in your family that you just think have just busted and disgusted and will go. He wants them. And he's willing to sacrifice whatever he needs to sacrifice. Not only willing, has already sacrificed everything for that completeness. He wants to fulfill. That's why we can trust him. That's why we can count on him. Why? Because he will complete a task. Think about the people you do not trust. The folks that you will not trust and do not trust. I work in banking, so there's a lot of people I just don't trust, okay? It's just there. But why is that? Why is your distrust rooted in them? Why is that? Because they didn't complete something. They didn't finish something that they said they were finished. They said they were going to do this thing and they did not do this thing. So therefore, you are not completing what you say you're going to do. So I cannot trust you because I just don't know if you're going to do it. But God, in everything that he does, he brings us around to a completed state. He's so perfect. I mean, I've been chewing on this all week. I mean, he is absolutely perfect, completed. The only thing that's not complete is he's still trying to go after that one. He's still trying to get that one. And then the next one, and the next one. And it's not like he has 99% of us. If you take a look at the statistics in the world, I think Christians account for less than 10%. So he ain't even up to 99% yet. Could you imagine how frustrated he is? He leaves the 99 for the one to complete. Whew, let's see if I got any scriptures. And then Olympics are going on, so I can talk about him. John Stephen Akwari. He still lives in Tanzania. Yeah, in a mud hut in Tanzania. So he's this Olympian runner, right? Mexico City, I think, 1960-something, 68. And John Stephen Akwari, sent from Tanzania to go to Mexico City to run a race, right? He's going to run the marathon. He's going to do this thing, man. It's 26.1 kilometers, is that right? Something like that? Or is it miles? 24 miles? Something, I don't know. I don't run that far. I don't walk that far. When it's that far, I'm going to get in the car and I'm going to drive to wherever I need to be. I ain't walking that far. I ain't running that far. Dang sure don't want to. That ain't going to happen. But some people, they like that kind of thing. More power to them. Anyway, he goes to run this thing, right? He's going to run this race. And it's in Mexico City. Well, he's doing his thing. He takes off. Everybody takes off. And apparently it takes a while to run 24 miles. It takes a little bit to run that. Again, I would not know. And so along the way, he stumbles into it. There's another runner, and then he falls. He scrapes up his shoulder real bad, and he breaks his leg, doesn't he? Yeah. And he disjointed his knee. So he's in a terrible state. So the guy that finished the race, I think it was 1 hour. The man that finished the race first was 2 hours and 20 minutes. First place, 2 hours and 20 minutes. Akwari finished in 3 hours, 25 minutes, and 27 seconds. And there were only a few people left in the stadium waiting for the last runner to show up. The sun had already set. He crossed the finish line, he's hobbling. He's in pain, and an interviewer comes up to him, and he asked him, why did he continue to run? And he said, my country didn't send me here, or didn't send me 3,000 miles to start a race. My country sent me here to finish a race. We have been called to finish and complete something. The Bible tells us that we're made in the likeness and the image of God. This is Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, that we are made in His image and in His likeness, that we've been given dominion upon this earth. And since we've been made in His image and in His likeness, then therefore we should also be completers. We should run our races. We should do our things that we're supposed to do. We should bring things to a completion. I mean, I'm the world's worst. I will start something and halfway through, I'm done. That's why I don't run marathons. Because anybody else? Excuse me. I'm talking to the wrong folks. Y'all finished everything, right? Ain't nobody got crap laying around the house and ain't been touched in a year, huh? Huh? I mean, seriously, you think about it. What's all the stuff that we have not completed that we didn't get done? Amen. And so what we tend to do, what Christians tend to do, and folk and people on this earth, is, man, we start trying to fulfill and complete, we just sit back and we go, okay, you know what? I'm jacked up. All right. I'm in a bad spot. So what I need to do is I need to get myself fulfilled. I need to get myself complete. And what we start doing is we start looking around this world that we live in, and we start trying to find something to complete us. We look for a spouse, right? Let me find a girlfriend. I need a girlfriend. That's what I need. I need a girlfriend. Let me go find a girlfriend. You find a girlfriend. Not me. I already got one. She sits on the front row. Hey. It'd be 27 years total, isn't it? Almost. See, I know. You got to keep up with that stuff. That's dating and being married. We haven't been married that long. We're not that old. She married me whenever she was 8. It was a real weird marriage. This old guy with this little 8-year-old. I know, it's strange. I know. I'm just trying to make sure everybody knows you're young. But actually, I'm the youngest in the relationship. She's older than I am. Y'all don't know that, do you? Yeah, by 2 years. She's old lady. Yeah, that's my old lady right there. Yeah, I know. I got to get out of this. I was just asking the Lord all this. I was like, how am I going to get out of this? Yeah. I'm going to be running a race. That's right. It's going to be over. So we try to fulfill with other things. Man, if I could get, look, I tell you what. If I could just get that promotion, right? If I could just get that thing, all right? If I could just get that promotion, then it'd be okay because I'll get more money and everything would be fine. I'll get my own office, have a chair. I got one of those. I got a corner office with a chair in it. You know, you get there, guess what? You want something else. Right? It never fails. You know, I mean, it's like, oh, man, I got to have a boat. Dude, I got to get a boat, man. I want a boat so bad. I want one of those ski and fish deals because I want to be a fish out of it. I want kids to be able to ride in the back on the inner tube. Man, that's what I need. You get a boat, and guess what? You want something else. I'm a four-wheeler now. Man, because that boat, man, it's only good about, you know, maybe about 5 or 6 months out of the year, and then you get tired of fooling around with it. You don't want to mess with it no more, and so you just, you know, get a four-wheeler. Ain't going to cost you as much. You get that four-wheeler and drive it for about 3 weeks. That ain't it. You know? Shotgun. Oh, I'm going to get me a shotgun. That's what I need to do. Get me a shotgun and go hunting. You know? And you go hunting about 5 times. Well, some of you now, y'all are devoted to that thing. A horse. A 32-year-old horse. That's what you get. You get a 32-year-old horse and an $800 saddle is what you do. And you leave it at your daddy's house. That's what you do. That's going to fulfill you. I'm going to go out there every afternoon and ride because it's so relaxing. That poor horse, I don't know where he is now. I really don't. He's in horse heaven. Yeah, they call that the glue factory. That was bad, wasn't it? I'm sorry. You did, Mama. My mom and dad are down here, so they're heckling me. And so, am I making my point here? You see what I'm saying? You know why that doesn't work? Does anybody have a clue why that doesn't work? We're not physical beings. We're not of this world. We're just visiting. Yes, we have flesh. We do. It's right here. I'm wearing it right now. But we live inside this body. When you look at me, I don't really look like this. Really, on the inside, I look like Thor, man. I look good. Yeah, where do you buy that suit at? That's right, I agree. Genetics, Bubba. You understand what I'm saying? We're not physical beings. Okay? And we're not made up of our mind and our will and our emotions. It's something that we have. We have the ability to decide. We have the ability to think. We have the ability to react with an emotion. And sometimes that reaction can be tied to our flesh suit, and sometimes it can't. Just kind of depends on how much word we've put in us, you know? But on the inside, at the core of who we are, we're spiritual beings. And so there's nothing in this world that can complete us. Nothing. There's no house. There's no job. There's no boat. There's no horse. There's no gun. There's no person. Nothing in this world and of this world can complete us. Can y'all put up Colossians chapter 2? See how fast they are. That's verse 9. For in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Now it's talking about Jesus. That in Jesus is the fullness of the Godhead. The Godhead, some liken it to the Trinity. It's the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. It's the full completeness of God dwells inside Jesus and even in his body. Now you do understand that Jesus, whenever he was raised from the dead, several days after he was raised from the dead, he was ascended and seated upon high. And right now in heaven, he is a man. He's carried his flesh with him. And so inside him bodily is the fullness of the Godhead, everything that God is. Father, Son, Holy Ghost, what, you know, however you want to put it, all of that. was in him. Next scripture. And what does it say? And you, everybody say that's me, are complete in who? In him. Who's the head of all principality and power. He's the top man. He's the top dog. And the top dog came. He walked on this earth. He died. He rose again. And then he said, look, if you'll believe in me, I will come and I will make my dwelling place in you. I will come and live on the inside of you. And I will bring the spiritual completeness that you are looking for. You want to be complete? You want to be satisfied in life? You want to have it to where you sit back and it doesn't matter what kind of, excuse the term, hell is going on around you. You can still stand firm because the full and completeness of God resides in you. We're not of this world. We do not belong here. We are on a big, long mission trip. And it takes most of us anywhere from 80 to 90 years to finish it, which ain't long. We're not of this world. Don't try to put anything in that place. It's called idolatry. You have now switched to another God. Y'all got my scripture, Matthew 6? You got to be on your toes, Hutton. Look at this. No man can serve two masters. Nobody. Nobody. Can serve two masters. Not a one of you can. Don't even try. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And mammon in this term means riches and prosperity, things of this earth. You can't serve God in something else. I don't care if it's mammon. You can't serve God in your kids. You can't serve God in your spouse. You can't serve God in the church. You can't serve God in your job. You can't serve God in your gun. You can't serve God in the fishing. You can't serve God in the hunting. You have got to choose which one is going to rule and reign in your heart. And the problem with us, and I include myself in this, is that we have placed something else in us and tried to replace with some made up, you know, I mean, this stuff's going to burn. Ashes. We're taking chunks of ashes, trying to shove them in on the inside of us and surround ourselves with stuff to make ourselves feel complete. When the whole time Jesus is sitting back going, I'm right here, Big Daddy. You want completeness? Come to me. All the stuff you're looking for, I got it. I got it. Because when you step into that state where God really is your God and Jesus really is your Lord, not just your Savior. He's not the one just to make sure you don't have to go to hell when you die, which is a selfish move to begin with. No, He is Lord. He speaks, we move. I got so mad. I hate to get political, but I got so mad whenever they said that somebody hearing from Jesus, I call that schizophrenia or whatever it was on the thing, on the news, on the TV. That drive me crazy. It's a mental illness to hear from Jesus. What is that? I got to hear from Him right now today to know what I need to do in this world. If I don't hear from Him, I'm not complete. And I have to be on TV and let people hear my voice. I've got to be on TV because I think that's going to complete me. Man, sorry. I don't normally get political, but that drove me crazy. Well, I mean, look, here's the thing. This is at the end of the day. I've been saying this for about a month now. The church is going to have to figure out at some point when we're going to draw the line in the sand and say that we've had enough. At some point, we have got to stand up and say, okay, that's it. Even, you know, I was talking to some people about this the other day. Yeah, we need to do it in love. You know, Jesus walked in love and forgave. Whoa. The same Jesus that said, turn the other cheek, was the same Jesus that took a whip and drove people out of His Father's house. It's the same guy. The same guy. At some point, we as a church have to draw a line in the sand and say, you can't go any further. We're done. And it's getting there. Now, here's the good thing in all of this, is that that's just simply a sign that the end is even closer. And our Lord is coming pretty soon, man. He's going to come on the back end of a white horse. He's going to roll up in this thing. And the Bible even says that the blood will be up to the bridle of the horse, that He will come and He will set things straight. Amen. Turn the other cheek. See, we have to make sure that we understand what the Word is trying to tell us. have to make sure that we understand who our Lord is. We have to make sure that we have been completed in Him and not in something else. Is this making sense to y'all? So you can't serve two masters. If you do, you're going to love one and you're going to hate the other. And I'll just be honest. I think that a lot of us have the wrong masters in our lives. I think a lot of us have been serving other stuff. And here's how I think about that, okay? I know people that can pray, know the word, know how to use the word, understand faith, right? And they you know, I mean, I know folk, and they still struggle in areas, you know? Stuff's not coming to completion. Why is that? Lord, they're doing everything they know to do. What's the deal? And he said it real simple. It's real simple. He said, well, their God is what they're praying for. That's where their focus is. When they come to me, they come to me and present their problem every time. And their problem is their God, not me. Paul and I have been watching some old film footage of some old school ministers, right? One of them particularly is Catherine Kuhlman, which I love to listen to her preach. You know, she says, God, I believe in the blood. She's awesome. I love it. Pull up YouTube and listen to her. She's great, man. I mean, some good stuff. And, you know, that's kind of an older way of presenting the gospel. But, man, it's fun to listen to. Golly, they're great people. Wonderful, powerful woman of God. If you read up about her, that there was all these healings in her ministry, people throwing away their canes and their crutches and getting out of wheelchairs and all that. And y'all know Benny Hinn. Y'all have heard of Benny Hinn? Well, before Benny Hinn just got weird, Benny Hinn was part of her group, and he kind of came out of her camp. And Benny Hinn flowed in a lot of strong, just heavy anointing and the power of God flowing through the man, right? Because he grew up under Catherine Kuhlman. And I was watching Catherine Kuhlman the other day. And it was so, Paul pointed it out to me. Paul said, you see how she prayed for people? I'm like, no, I didn't pay no attention. I'm listening to the messages, right? He goes, well, watch her pray for folk. Okay. So I sit on there. And this woman, she kind of prays for everybody. Lord, you know, heal them, Jesus' name, healed. And then she said, okay, who was it that had this problem? And they'll come up. And she'll go up to touch them, and she'll just say, simply just, thank you, Jesus. And people fall out. Folks can't walk right. She'll just walk up and go, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And boom, instantly healed. Her focus is not on the problem. Her focus is on the answer. We have to get our focus on the answer. And the answer to every question, the answer to every problem, the answer to every issue, the answer to everything that we go through in this life is one. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. We're complete in Him. You want to live a life that's full, complete? You want to run your marathon even though you get busted and bent up and your knee socket thing goes out of the way and you're all skin up and you still want to finish your race? Nothing in this world's going to do it for you. Not one thing. But I know a man. His name was Jesus and is Jesus. He lived here for 33 years and some change. He died. But after he died, 3 days later, he rose. And now he's seated on high next to the Father. And in Him dwells all the fullness of God. And He's come and He's dwelt on the inside of me. And if you want Him to dwell on the inside of you, all you got to do is ask. And He will. He'll make it complete. You okay, Mama? All right. I said something funny that she thought was funny. He will come and He will dwell on the inside of you and make you complete. Amen. So let's all stand. I think I'm done. Hutton, y'all play a little something. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 through 4 says, if then you were raised with Christ, if you were raised with Christ. How many of you have accepted Jesus? I don't want to look. I won't look. Accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Do you not know that in that thing, Ephesians chapter 2 explains what happened. It says that you were quickened with Him, you were raised with Him, and you were seated with Him. And we talked early. He's not here. Jesus is not here. He's in heaven. He's hanging out in heaven. His Spirit resides on the inside of us, but He's hanging up there.